Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, my beloved. It is that time again. It is your host, Professor Jamila Franklin, and this is Higher Consciousness, and the topic for this entire month would be Black History Month, and tonight we're honoring Miss Cicely Tyson. For those of you who are not familiar with me, I am a certified Reiki master, a college professor, certified aromatherapist, certified metaphysician, an award-winning author, blog talk show host, and I am also a psychotherapist, which means I counsel people using this creative, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful system called the Emotion Code, and I've seen so many dramatic results. I'm going to talk in a few shows about the status of mental health for African Americans. For the whole country, but primarily for African Americans, because most people are suffering from some form of PTSD, post-traumatic slave disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder, because we've been on a very, very bumpy ride over the past 4 years, and everyone has been affected mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in some way. And or you know of someone who has. So we're going to definitely delve into that topic, as I said, in a couple of weeks, because I want to really give it a lot of time and attention. But for those of you who are interested in my services, you should definitely go to my website, which is Oyinde Enterprises, O-Y-I-N-D-E, Enterprises, E-N-T-E-R, PRISES.com, and my telephone number to schedule an appointment is 770-882-7347. 770-882-7347. I have just received a notice that someone can't get in. I'm going to also in the future probably change my platform from Blog Talk to another platform because some people are having some issues with it. And so just be prepared. Anyway, I was just responding to someone who could not get in. Let me just see. Okay, well, tonight we're talking to you about Cicely Tyson. She's a phenomenal actor, and she transitioned this past week, and we have a lot of people who are transitioning, and we are now feeling a little sad about that. I know I am. And so I'm just responding to someone. In order to make sure that you can get in, sometimes just call a little early and then I can work out the kinks. But calling right at the last minute then I have to interrupt my show and pause it because I'm trying to figure out how to get you in because it's just me working the board. So anyway, I'm going to give you some information about the late, great Cicely Tyson, who's now an elder. I mean, she was always an elder, I'm sorry. She's now an ancestor. This information that I pulled up is really, really comprehensive. So it would take me a little minute, but it's very, very comprehensive. Okay, so Cicely Tyson was born on December 18, 1924, in Harlem, New York, to immigrants Frederica Tyson and William Augustine Tyson. While her mother served as a maid, her father worked as a carpenter and painter. As a teenager, Cicely Tyson took up a typing job to make ends meet. However, destined for the world of glamour, she soon caught the eye of a photographer of Ebony magazine who offered her a career in modeling. Grabbing the opportunity, she turned to professional modeling. Tyson's stunning looks and charismatic personality helped her rise to the top of the modeling industry. Though Tyson was happy with how her career was shaping, her religious mother was displeased with her profession. When Tyson was offered her first acting job for a television series, this displeased her mother all the more, who felt that Tyson was choosing a sinful path. Consequently, she kicked her out of the home. And what this biographical summary forgot to tell or include was that Cicely became pregnant at the age of 17 or 18, and she had a baby girl, and she kept her out of the limelight all of her life. So, and she became married when she was 17, 18, became pregnant. Her mother was very, very religious. Her family was from the island of Nevis, which is an island in the Caribbean. Cicely Tyson's first acting project was a small role in a 1950 play. The following year, she grabbed a minor role in the NBC series Frontiers of Faith. Her first film role came in the 1956 film Carib Gold. In 1961, she appeared in the original cast of the French playwright Jean Genet's The Blacks. The show was a major hit and went on to become the longest-running off-Broadway non-musical of the decade, running for 1,408 performances. After a couple of guest appearances on television, she earned a major role in the celebrated television series East Side, West Side in 1963. She featured in 26 episodes of the much-loved television series. And in that series, too, she sported, which was uncommon and unheard of at the time, a low afro. Cicely Tyson was a trendsetter in terms of hairstyles because at that time she decided to cut off all of her hair, and her afro was a low-cut afro in 1963 when a lot of black women were still processing their hair. So she was a trendsetter. Following East Side, West Side, Tyson starred in a single episode of Slattery's People and I Spy before bagging yet another prominent role in the soap opera Guiding Light. Alongside television and theater, Tyson's film career, too, progressed steadily. She took up small roles in films such as Odds Against Tomorrow, The Last Angry Man, A Man Called Adam, and The Comedians. In 1968, she acquired an important role in the film The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, in which she played the character of Portia. The film was a major hit, both commercially and critically, winning 2 Academy Award nominations and 4 Golden Globe nominations. Cicely Tyson went on to do more television work, taking up guest roles in various television series, including Cowboy in Africa, the FBI, Medical Center, Gunsmoke, Mission Impossible, and Emergency. Though she did a lot of work in television, films, and theater, the big breakthrough of her career came only in 1972 when she performed the role of Rebecca Morgan in the film Sounder, a film adaptation of an award-winning novel of the same name. Sounder received massive appreciation. Her outstanding performance helped her achieve a nomination for the prestigious Academy Award for Best Actress. Taking her success story forward, she gave yet another spellbinding performance as Jane Pittman in a television series, The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. The series was highly appreciated and won her 2 Primetime Emmy Awards and a nomination at the BAFTA. Tyson's stint with successful television shows continued as she starred in several acclaimed and highly appreciated television shows, including Roots, King, and the Marva Collins Story. If you are not familiar with Marva Collins, please look her up, MarvaCollins. She was an educational pioneer and just excellent champion for advocating for the rights of poor children. And she started her own school in Chicago. Definitely look up Marva Collins. Sisley played Marva Collins in that television adaptation, each of which earned her an Emmy Awards nomination in various categories. Throughout the decade of the 1980s and the 1990s, Tyson juggled between films and television. She did a couple of films, such as Bustin' Loose, Fried Green Tomatoes, and Hoodlum, and several television shows, including Acceptable Risk, Benny's Place, Heat Wave, and House of Secrets. In 1994, she played the role of Castralia, a housemaid in the TV series The Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All, for which she received her 3rd Emmy Award. She followed it up with the portrayal of civil rights activist and attorney Carrie Grace Battle in Sweet Justice. The series earned her yet another Emmy nomination. In 2005, Cicely Tyson co-starred in 2 films, Because of Winn-Dixie and Diary of a Mad Black Woman. The latter proved a big hit. She followed it up with a couple of more film roles in documentaries. During this time, her best performance on television came for the show Relative Stranger, which earned her an Emmy nomination for her portrayal of Pearl. In 2011, Tyson was a part of the ensemble cast for the period film The Help. In the film, she donned the role of Constantine Bates. The film was hugely successful as it opened to positive reviews and amassed more than $216 million at the box office. Ending her 30-year hiatus from Broadway, Cicely Tyson returned to play the character of Mrs. Carrie Watts in Horton Foote's The Trip to Bountiful in 2013. The play was highly appreciated, and it also earned Tyson the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Play. She reprised her role for the television version of the play as well. Since 2014, she guest starred as Ophelia Harkness in How to Get Away with Murder, and she was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Drama Series in 2015, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. In 2016, she appeared in a guest role as Doris Jones in House of Cards. The magnum opus of Cicely Tyson's career came in 1972 when she essayed the role of Rebecca Morgan in the film Sounder. The film received massive acclaim and appreciation, and her brilliant acting and outstanding performance helped her win numerous awards, including an Academy Award for Best Actress. Okay. So let me just jump down here because they're repeating themselves. In 1972, Cicely Tyson won the NSFC Best Actress and NBR Best Actress Award for her role as Rebecca Morgan for the film Sounder. In 1974, Tyson won two Emmy Awards for her excellent performance in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. She won her third Emmy for Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All. She won the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Actress in a Movie, Miniseries, or Dramatic Special four times for her role in Samaritan, The Road to Galveston, Mama Flora's Family, and The Trip to Bountiful. In 1982, she was awarded the Women in Film Crystal Award. In 1988, Tyson received Candace Award for Distinguished Service from the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. Tyson was a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, and in May 2009, she received an honorary degree from Morehouse College, an all-male college. Later, she received an honorary doctorate of humane letters from Columbia and Howard University as well. In 2010, she was awarded the NAACP's Spingarn Medal. On November 22, 2016, Tyson received the highest civilian honor of the U.S., the Presidential Medal of Freedom, by the then President Barack Obama. She was inducted into the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame and was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She was also honored by the Congress of Racial Equality and by the National Council of Negro Women. In her personal life, Tyson married Kenneth Franklin on December 27th, 1942, at the age of 18. Her husband abandoned within 18 months of the marriage. The marriage was dissolved in 1956, and this is the marriage where she had her daughter, whose identity has been very, very private. Tyson dated the jazz musician Miles Davis in the 1960s, but they didn't marry then. Cicely Tyson and Miles Davis got back together in 1978, and the two married on November 26, 1981, and this marriage was dissolved in 1988. Cicely Tyson co-founded the Dance Theater of Harlem with Arthur Mitchell. And to commemorate her contribution to the field of entertainment, a magnet school in East Orange, New Jersey, was renamed the Cicely Tyson School of Performing and Fine Arts. And she transitioned on January 28th, 2021, at the age of 96. Now, I thought it was very, very important to go over all of that, because a lot of people, including myself, did not know about all of her awards. So I think it's very important. And for those people who know people who were not able to listen to the show, definitely have them listen to the show so that they can hear about the late, great Cicely Tyson. She was a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal pioneer, elegant, very classy. And that's one of the things that I want to address tonight too, because Cicely Tyson decided that there were certain roles that she just would not play and do. And I know Lena Horne did the same thing. Lena Horne said that she would never play a maid. And Cicely Tyson never played a maid either, except when she became older. But Lena Horne refused to play a maid. And I think Dorothy Dandridge stated the same thing. So those women set the bar. They just said, this is who we are. We're not going to play the mammy roles. We're not going to play roles that diminish our character. We're going to set the bar and know that the creator of the universe is going to give us roles to help us sustain ourselves financially. And that's one thing, too, and I'm going to get into that tonight. I know it can be very challenging when we are in certain professions, especially in the arts, because you're primarily self-employed. And in Hollywood, until the past, 10 years, Hollywood was very, very racist, and it still is. They had stereotypic roles that they wanted African-Americans to play. Gangster roles, prostitutes, maids, the mammy role, anything that was derogatory, because that was their vision of us, and they wanted to make sure that that was emblazoned in stone. And so some of the people acquiesced and played those roles because they felt that that was the only way for them to eat, and I understand that, like Stephen Fetchett and some of the others. When you look at movies during the 40s, particularly with a lot of the black men, their eyes were bulging out of their heads, and they were talking very slowly, privately, away from the screen, very articulate. Some of them were Shakespearean trained, very articulate. But those were the roles that Hollywood offered them, and they took them. And it's really unfortunate that they had to be pushed into those roles. But then there were others who decided that that was not going to be their fate. Bea Richards is someone that you should look up, B-E-A, Richards, R-I-C-H-R-D-S. She played in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Sidney Poitier. She was his mother. She chose not to play roles in films or in plays that were demeaning. And she primarily, I think, decided to be a stage actress. But she's a phenomenal actress. So it causes my heart chagrin and pain when I see these caricatures now on television, because these people don't have to do it. All of these reality shows, the housewives shows, and these women cursing each other out, throwing shoes on each other, just very, very, being very, very demeaning and condescending to one another. And the thing is that even though they may say that they're not a role model, they are. Anytime you as an adult stand in front of a group of people, particularly children, they're looking at you. You are a role model. Charles Barkley used to say crazy stuff. He was very interesting, very interesting. He and Will Chamberlain both, serious denial and serious self-hatred, both of them. They felt that they weren't role models for black children, that they could do whatever they wanted to do. Dennis Rodman is in that category as well. So people like our icons, like Malcolm, Fannie Lou Hamer, Dr. King, Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and others here, Ida B. Wells, and just a slew of others died for us to be honored and respected, and for us now to willingly step into the roles of buffoonery. It's just completely interesting to me. When I use the word interesting, I use it in substitution for the word crazy. Okay, well, when I'm saying crazy, I mean interesting, I really mean crazy. I'm trying to be politically correct. So when I see people doing those things, it makes me sad. And I know, because I'm self-employed too, that it can be a bit challenging, but if you ask the creator of the universe to provide sustenance for you, it's going to happen. It may take a while, but it's going to happen. and you just have to decide what your bar is. How high would you like to go, and how low would you like to go? Cicely Tyson never disrobed. She never took off all her clothing. To my knowledge, she never used profanity in movies. She was never rolling her eyes and being a mammy, even though in the latter days she played a maid, but those roles were very brief. But she was never a person who was looked upon as a buffoon. Now, she died at the age of 96, and whenever you would see her at the Academy Awards, she was dressed impeccably. Every hair was in place. She dressed very elegantly. She did not try to dress like she was 20-something years old. She was a style icon. She and both First Lady Michelle Obama, I mean, every time they stepped out, very, very impeccably dressed. A friend of mine showed me something recently with this young girl who was talking about some metaphysical topics, and the person was African American. And the girl had on this tank top that cut really low across her breast. And I told the friend, I couldn't get beyond the fact that her chest was exposed. And I said, I'm not into women like that. So it wasn't that. I wasn't attracted to it. It was just very, very, very distracting. Because what she was saying, I couldn't even get to what she was saying. And the same thing happens for a lot of men. When I was teaching at one college, I told the young women, I said, the men are distracted when you come in here and you don't have clothes on. When the dresses are very short and when your tops are cut down very low. And I said, that's distracting for me, and I'm a female. So if you desire to have respect, you have to dress a certain kind of way. And I'm not saying that men should disrespect women just because they are scantily clothed. No, I don't believe in that at all. I don't believe in that at all. But let me tell you something, and I did this with the men in my class and talk about honoring the legends like Cicely Tyson. I asked the men, the young men in the class, would they take those women dressed like that home? And every last one of them in front of the women said no. So young ladies, I want you to hear this. They said no. They said that they would dance with them at the club, they would hang out with them, but they would not take them home to meet their mothers. So you have to think about that. So this young woman was on Instagram or something, and she was trying to be profound. And then she kept punctuating her speech with curse words, which was really antithetical to the theme. If you're talking about spiritual topics and you're cursing, you know, every few minutes, to me, that defeats the purpose. I don't understand what the point is. That's antithetical. It's sabotaging your message. And I think because people are so hungry to get viewers on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and all these other social media platforms, they think they have to go low to get the audience. But that's not the case. Mama Cicely Tyson never went low. My thing is, you bring people up to a higher standard. You don't go low if you're trying to educate someone. You bring them up step by step. And that's what she did. Everyone who worked with her was in awe of her. Everyone who worked with her wanted to be like her. Everyone who worked with her saw her as an icon. Now, all of these reality stars, after the show is over, you've forgotten about their names. You don't even know who they are. So everyone who is now trying to get the views, the likes, and all of that, they're missing the point because they're not really interested in the art. They're not really interested in the message that they're telling people. They're more interested in popularity. That was not what was going on with Elder Cicely Tyson. She was interested in projecting a positive message to people who looked like her. And the days where light to bright to white were the norm, this was an ebony-hued woman who was a model for Ebony magazine. And Ebony was definitely into light-skinned models. But because she was so beautiful and so regal, she brought who she was, her essence, to her art. And everyone honored that. Everyone paid tribute to that. Everyone saw her as being beautiful. She was never, ever, ever made into a caricature. Never. And Miles Davis said that he wanted his wife, who was a sister at the time, on the cover of his album. Now, this is during the 60s and 70s. We were coming into Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. It was coming out of the 50s where light and bright and white was the norm. So she redefined beauty. She redefined class. She redefined elegance. That's the model that young women of African origin should ascribe to. That is the model. It is not the model of these caricatures that they have on television for you. Because let me tell you something. Hollywood knows how powerful black women are, women in general, especially black women. So how do you control a person, a woman, who's empowered? You denigrate her. You relegate her to the role of a prostitute. You relegate her to the role of a maid. You relegate her to the role of something that's very, very unsavory. And then you have the women who look like they're fighting each other, like in all these reality shows. And then you sit back, as white Hollywood does all the time, and laugh at them. Because what you've done is you've taken away their power. So young girls, black girls, who look at all these crazy reality shows, feel like that's the only way that I can make it in Hollywood. I have to fight. I have to disrobe. I have to curse like a sailor. I have to be, what's this girl's name? A Cardi B. But you know what? The universe is so kind. What have we seen recently? Amanda Gorman. Amanda Gorman cancels out all the Cardi B's. Amanda Gorman. Very articulate, spoken word artist, no profanity, very articulate. And I've seen her in a few interviews. Oh, she can hold her own. Very Afrocentric, natural hair, ebony complected, beautiful. She is the 2020 first version of our beloved Cicely Tyson. When I saw her, I said, I was so pleased and so happy. I said, okay, this is another generation where we can have women of African origin feel good about who they are and their natural hair and their dark complected skin and fully clothed. And everyone would look in her eyes, not at her chest. Because what happens is, when you don't have on clothing, people are not looking in your face. They don't even hear what you have to say. They're looking at what you have on display. With Amanda, there was no way that anyone could not look in her beautiful face. She was beautifully dressed during the inauguration. Extremely articulate, extremely professional, and extremely Afrocentric. Her poetry was like music. So then I looked at her and I said, thank you, creator of the universe. Winnie Mandela can now rest. Fannie Hamer can rest. Coretta Scott King can now rest. Ida B. Wells can now rest. Dorothy Dandridge and Maya Angelou, Toni Morrison, they can rest. Because we have a young woman in her 20s who's taken up the baton. And she's carrying on their legacy, not the Cardi B's and our other insanity. There's an audience for those. But those were the only people, that type, that caricature, that buffoonery was the only thing that they were putting in front of young black girls. And they felt like they didn't have a choice. In order for them to be recognized, they had to emulate that. And there was Amanda Gorman for the entire world to see. The entire world to see. And I want the people who are young to hear this. Not one person has made a disparaging remark about her. Not one. So our elders now who are living are very pleased. Because now I'm in the role of an elder, and she made my heart sing. I was so, so impressed because the ancestors heard my plea and the plea of other people who were saying, please, help us with our youth. Because they're looking in the water using Langston Hughes' poem. They're looking in the water, and the reflection in the water is showing them a dirty image. And they're playing that role out. The stereotypes that Hollywood has about them, they believe it. And they're playing that out, that role out. Not understanding, in the next 10 years or less, no one would even know who they are or remember who they are. They don't understand that. Not understanding that those roles that they've played will follow them for the rest of their lives. They don't understand that. They don't understand the thing about energy either. With energy, whatever you do, when you are performing at that level, you're attracting more roles at that level. So they now have put themselves in a cast. No one would take them seriously. Cardi B is not going to be taken seriously. I saw a little clip of her, and I said, and she's an attractive young girl. But I said, she doesn't have to do this in 2021. The buffoonery. She doesn't have to do this. But in her head, she believes that she does. And then someone told me at the, for Dr. King's celebration, that some entertainer got up there and started twerking. I said, no, because I don't have a television. I know it tells lies, so I don't have one in my home. She said, yes. She was, and this person who told me was so appalled. Twerking during the celebration of Dr. King on that special day where probably millions of people saw that disgraceful act. And the person obviously didn't have a problem with it. Now, I'm looking at the person who brought this particular entertainer, because they had to have known the mentality of the woman to know that that was a possibility. So that just shows you how far we've gone down in terms of the bar. So, but Amanda came along, Amanda Gorman. Chadwick Boseman, when he was alive. Michael B. Jordan, the actor. Ryan Coogler, the director and producer. They stepped up and said no. We're going to change this. So I think it's really incumbent, not only because of Black History Month. Black History Month for me is every month of the year. And you know how it started. It started because Lincoln's birthday, I think, is in February. Frederick Douglass' birthday is in February. And there were certain things that happened during February. So it was first a day, then it was a week, then it became a month. It's the shortest month in a year, too, which is interesting. So once they allowed us to have a month, we have the shortest month of the year. I don't buy into any of this. But I know it's recognized as Black History Month. So for the remaining three Mondays, I'm going to cover topics that are exclusively germane to the experiences of Africans throughout the diaspora, because we need to hear about it. And that's the reason I took the amount of time I did to read Queen Cicely Tyson's profile, because a lot of the things that I read, like her doctorates and those kinds of things, people did not know about that. And they did not know that she had a daughter, and her daughter is still living. But her identity is very, very, has been kept very private. So, and Cicely also has a book that's just come out. And it's interesting because she finished the book 2 days before she transitioned. You know, everything is so divinely appointed. And I've heard some excerpts of it, and I'm buying the book. So we now have her legacy. Just think if she had transitioned and we didn't have that wonderful piece of memorabilia left behind for us to know in her own words who she is and who she was. Just think. If someone else had to write about her who didn't really know her and putting snippets together, because that's what biographers sometimes do. They don't feel your essence, and they just put pieces together that they think will sell the book. But she wrote this book. And with the audio version, Viola Davis and Miss Tyson and another actress are reading the book. And I heard an excerpt, and it's excellent. So if anyone else would like to contribute something to this conversation, this show is going to go off at 8 o'clock. I used to have a 2-hour show, but they've scaled back the time, and I wanted to give my dear friend Linda Boston an opportunity with her beautiful song to take us out with an outro. So I'm going to play her song in about 10 minutes, and I wanted everyone who's listening on the link to listen to it, because at 8 o'clock it's going to cut you off completely from listening. So if anyone would like to add something to what I've said, and I think it's in my parting words, I think it's extremely important for us to lift up our young people, particularly the young women. When we see them out there doing things that are not honoring who they are, just pull them to the side. I know sometimes it's kind of challenging because they have not been taught to respect their elders. So, but let's step up and be the adults and tell them that they are beautiful and they are deserving of being respected and not denigrated by the way that they talk, the way that they act out in public. We need to bring them back to the sensibility of being African goddesses, because they no longer see themselves like that. Greetings. Greetings.
Am I in the queue? Hello?
Yes. Mhm.
Greetings. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Alice?
I am marvelous. And thank you so much. I did not know that she had a daughter. That was very interesting. And all the things that, all the accolades she had. I do remember watching her in the 60s on East Side, West Side.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, because like you said, she was a trendsetter, and she had a short afro. And I was like, this is really something. This lady, it was so wonderful to see her with, I think she played opposite George C. Scott.
Yeah.
And she was intelligent and, you know, it was really interesting to see that in the 60s, because it was the 60s, I believe, the late 60s.
It was in the 60s. Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I have always thought of her, like you said, very regal, very, and the her portrayal of Jane Pittman was really, really struck me, really resonated with my life, because whenever, even now, whenever I am struggling with something, I think, what would Jane Pittman do? That walk to get to the water fountain. She has always been my go-to biography. She was determined, and mm-hmm. her and sound. So I have always held a very special place in my heart for her. And thank you for honoring her. And just her accolades. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Her doctorates. I didn't know that she received
honorary doctorates. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was just very modest. Yeah.
And she is an honorary Delta. We choose women in, every so often and confer an honorary sisterhood on her, and she was very gracious, and I'm so proud to call her my soror. But thank you for this. I hope other people will chime in, and what you were saying about the young ladies today, I have a Amanda Gorman. I had to print that poem. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And give it to my grandchildren.
Yes, yes.
She is.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, she does. She is someone to emulate. They have so many other role models that just are just not really what we want. They're not what I want for my granddaughters. And
mm-hmm.
I even talked to one of my granddaughters about what she was watching, Housewives of XYZ, and I was like, you know this is all buffoonery, don't you?
Yes.
And I
mm-hmm.
said, nobody really acts like that. They're paying them to act like that
mm-hmm.
And look like that. And when you decide you've got to look like that, then it makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But it's okay, because the Creator has it all under control, and we have Amanda now. So I'm loving it. But thank you so much. I just thought I'd chime that in. I'm in my car, but I said I gotta listen. So I've been listening.
Thank you.
And
for the listeners who are listening, Alice is calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. And she's a perennial listener to this to the Higher Consciousness. And I so thank her for doing so. Thank you so much, Alice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You for all that you do for us. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Namaste.
I'll take myself out.
So, I just wanted to have Alice talk and share some thoughts with you. And if there's anyone else who would like to make a comment about the late great Cicely Tyson and how wonderful she was, and how she's still in my memory, but I heard that she had transitioned. And I don't use the word die, because you never really die. That's another show. You just go to another form of existence. So when I heard that she had transitioned, I cried. I said, because Maya is no longer here, Toni Morrison, and now Cicely Tyson, even though I knew it could be any day, she was the epitome of health. She was a vegetarian. She took very care of herself. And they are not saying the cause of death. So no one knows. They're just assuming that she just died because she's 96. But anyway, they have not stated the cause of death. But she is an icon, and she would be forever remembered because she took the chances that some other actors were afraid to take. She also shaved off all her hair. She not only cut it down to a low afro, she shaved it all off. Whenever she felt that she had a particular role that she loved, and she only took the roles that she felt that she could embody the energy of the person, she would totally commit to the role. So she cut off all of her hair. On her autobiography, her head is shaved. Beautiful. The profile is just impeccable. Just impeccable. So, and then there's another photo of her with her hair braided, like an Egyptian goddess. And she wore Afrocentric jewelry. And she was just, there are not enough accolades that I can give or say about this particular person, because it took courage, it took vision, it took stamina, and it took a commitment, because her own family, particularly her mom, was not supportive of her in the beginning. But before her mother transitioned, she did become supportive of her, and that made all the difference to Miss Tyson, to Mama Tyson. Another thing, too, is Cicely Tyson was extremely spiritual. She, like Harriet Tubman, would get visions, and she never questioned those visions. She would just know intuitively what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and she was always correct. So whenever you get visions, it's like what they say, a sixth sense or intuition, follow it. A lot of people are so linear in their thinking. It's like, well, if something tells you to go left and you've been going right down the street, why should I go left? I've always gone right. And then you go right and you have a car accident. That's your sixth sense. That's your God voice talking to you. And because people have become so connected to linear thinking, logical thinking, and logical thinking can only take you so far. And it always, always, always makes mistakes. When you have a choice between your intuitive voice, which is the God within you talking to you, and the mind, the ego, the logical mind, the linear brain, always choose the God within you. Just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it's incorrect. Like if the God within you is saying that not to connect with a particular person or whatever, well, he hasn't done anything to me or she hasn't done anything to me. The God within you sees what you can't see. And so if you go along with this particular individual after receiving the warning signs, then that's on us. And this is what people say all the time. Well, God should have told me. God should have blocked me. No, you have free will. And that's the thing with Queen Tyson. She had free will. Her free will said she refused to take demeaning roles. Her free will said that she refused to be a sexual object by the men in Hollywood. Her free will said that she refused to sleep to get roles. Okay? So you have to look at that. A lot of women have acquiesced and done the things to get these roles, and they are a one-hit wonder. Because whatever you start out believing, that energy is going to follow you until you change it. And you can always change it. You can start out going down one path and just say, okay, now I see the light, and you can change it to another, into another direction. So does anyone else have any comments? The number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. The call-in number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. Okay, we have a caller. Greetings.
Greetings. Linda Boston here. How are you today? This is a beautiful show.
Greetings, Linda Boston. I am desiring to play your piece in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Thank you so very much. I really thank you for that. But one of the things that it's interesting how everything is so cyclical, and what you were saying about Queen Tyson and what
mm-hmm.
she refused to do, and then you shared also that you know women don't have to degrade themselves. I remember when I went off to college, my sister told me, never do anything. Choices that you make, take pictures or let anybody film you in any way that you don't want to have haunt you later. And when you
mm-hmm.
think about certain artists that go way too far, actually by
mm-hmm.
choice, because it's the characterization that they've created for themselves, you wonder how they're going to think of themselves when they're older, and this life behind them, how they would be perceived as an old person, as a senior. Would you want someone to remember WAP, which is Cardi B's song with Megan the Stallion, when they're 75 years old? Do you want somebody to remember you doing that video? And it's interesting that I mean, people make their choices.
Exactly.
Each his own, right? But it's interesting how all of the revelation of young people that are against these things, because I've heard different shows on YouTube and on Instagram, and these brothers that are speaking truths about black people in particular, and they talk about how we are being desensitized and over-sexualized and made numb about these things, and they are being cognizant of that, almost like the matrix is being removed from those things as well. It's
and
like the whole world is turning full circle to see everything that just really, really should not be, that's imbalanced. That's what I'm seeing. That's the energy I'm getting. I have a nephew, Caleb, who I hope calls in today and talks about it, because we talk about that between us often. You know, where is the mindset of young people today? He's a very wise young man, but he's got very high, and he also has, not but, he also has very high standards. And I'm very proud of that, you know. I teach my grandson respect is what we do in this household. And his mother, she teaches that to him. You must respect and be truthful in this household, you know. So it's great to know that there are some young people that are making other choices.
I know, and that's what was so amazing for Amanda Gorman to represent your nephew, to represent your grandson, because some
represent
of them
represent me too. Yeah, and you.
Yeah, but they may never have that kind of platform. So because what the world sees are the Cardi B's and all these other people. But now they see, no, the majority of the youth don't function like that. And they are disgusted by those lyrics and by her actions. So now people are seeing the antithesis to that. The counter movement is rising up, because I was very concerned, because people had become so, as young people were saying, desensitized to the manipulation. And they are being programmed to do certain things for certain reasons, because they know how loyal and how grand we are. So if you can have people not believe and know that they are, for them to relegate themselves to the roles of prostitutes and gangbangers and all those other things, that's a small segment of our community, a very small segment. But that's all you see on television. So for people, even the people who are not living that lifestyle, they believe that most of us are like that, because that's all they see. But when they see the antithesis, like I said, of an Amanda Gorman, then they have options. So thank you so much, Ms. Linda Boston. I'm going
thank
to play the spoken word pieces by Linda Boston, and they won't be able to hear all of it because we only have 90 seconds. But anyway, I'm going to play most of it, okay? Thank you. And until next week, everyone, know that I love you more than you can ever imagine. And just continue to let your light shine and know that you are royalty, because you're made in the image of what? The Most High God. And you can only be royalty, okay? Namaste.
As far back as our being can remember, the spirit moved and it changed. It began to emanate, vibrate, create, and formate. And it remained eternal, manifesting through perpetuity, infinity. There was no weapon, nothing formed against it. So it's important to recognize the power of time and purpose. it's important to accept it, to respect it, and is as simple as seed time and harvest. Meditate on seeds that are planted. Your seeds, my seeds, are designed to grow. When we ground them, let's leave them alone for a time. Imagine if we did. Imagine if we disturbed the foundation. The seedling has nothing to hold on to, nothing to latch on to. Imagine the pyramids moved. They moved when I moved, separating us through time, moving and turning and twisting under pressure. That's because life as we know it resists the fullness of the truth, even while longing for it. The pyramids are wisdom beyond man's understanding, and they are true. The anointing of the truth is a cleanser. Let the truth flow through you. It's the truth, the uncanny truth that leads us toward overstanding. Yes, overstanding, because the self-existent one is under nothing. Meditating is the key. Worshiping is the key to that key. Standing still gets us to the all-encompassing door of a revelation washed in and through us. Hey, I'm accepted by freedom to move from the outer court to the inner court and beyond the veil, so they say. I am a vessel, and so are you. He wants us to understand. Oh, no, no, no. Overstand. I am you, and you are me. Listen, you are him, so your five senses must move. Get out of the way and make way for the truth. The only thing constant is change, and we were put here to lay the foundation for change. Trust it. Believe it. Hey, know it. It's time. This is it. Yeah.